Welcome to the Watchman Radio Hour, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, here in the beautiful Northwest. This is David Schultz, your announcer. The Watchman Radio Hour is a production of Watchman Radio Ministries International, an evangelistic ministry reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now here's our speaker, Alex Dotson, to bring you this week's message from God's Word.
The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ may very well be soon. No one knows for sure. However, he may be delaying his coming for a time that the church might get on with its mission in these last days. What is our mission in these last days? Our text for today is Isaiah 4 and verse 9, which says this, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. The church in these last days is called to proclaim the gospel. The end is not yet. There is yet much work to be done in this final hour. Let us see in the first place today that we are to get up on a high mountain. Our text says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. Get in a position where the people can hear. The emphasis here in this sentence is on the words high mountain in the Hebrew. It comes at the beginning of the sentence. The emphasis there, high mountain, a place where all the cities could hear. I had an uncle who lived on a farm out in the country. There were several families who lived and worked on that farm. There was only one telephone on the farm, and that was the one in my uncle's house. My uncle had a strong voice, and often he would go up on the hill behind his house to deliver a message to some worker who was some distance away out on the farm. And he would call out in his strong voice, and that voice could be heard all over the farm. I used to live in the San Gabriel Valley in Southern California in the Los Angeles area. From our yard, we could see Mount Wilson, which is directly over Pasadena. And on top of that mountain were many radio and television towers, an excellent place for transmission of the radio and television signals. And millions of people could pick up those signals on their radios and televisions throughout Southern California. The church needs to go up on a high mountain to make it possible for all to hear its message. We need to get outside of the walls of the church. George Whitefield and John Wesley preached in the open fields in the great evangelical awakening in the 18th century. George Whitefield records in his journal on Sunday, March the 4th, 1739, what happened near Bristol, England on that day. He writes, "Rose, much refreshed in spirit, and gave my early attendance a warm exhortation as usual. Went to Newgate and preached with power to an exceedingly thronged congregation. Then hastened to Hannam Mount, 3 miles from the city, where the colliers live together. God favored us in the weather. Above 4,000 were ready to hear me, and God enabled me to preach with the demonstration of the Spirit. The ground not being high enough, I stood upon a table, and the sight of the people covering the green fields and their deep attention pleased me much. I hope that same Lord who fed so many thousands with bodily bread will feed all their souls with that bread which cometh down from heaven, for many came from far. At 4 p.m, I went to the mount on Rose Green and preached to about 14,000 souls, and so good was my God that all could hear." John Wesley also records in his journal a similar experiences in 1739. On Thursday, March the 29th, he records, "I left London and in the evening expounded to a small company at Basingstoke." He continues to write of what happened on Saturday and Sunday. In the evening, I reached Bristol and met Mr. Whitfield there. I could scarcely reconcile myself at first to this strange way of preaching in the fields, of which he set me an example on Sunday. I had been all my life till very lately so tenacious of every point relating to decency and order that I should have thought the saving of souls almost a sin if it had not been done in a church. On Monday, April the 2nd, he records, at 4 in the afternoon I submitted to be more vile and proclaimed in the highways the glad tidings of salvation, speaking from a little eminence in a ground adjoining to the city to about 3,000 people. The scripture on which I spoke was this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." On Sunday, April the 8th, Wesley records, "At 7 in the morning I preached to about 1,000 persons at Bristol, and afterwards to about 1,500 on the top of Hainam Mount in Kingswood. I called to them in the words of the evangelical prophet, 'O, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price.' About 5,000 were in the afternoon at Rose Green, on the other side of Kingswood, among whom I stood and cried in the name of the Lord, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" And so George Whitfield and John Wesley and others went to the open fields in the 18th century to proclaim the glad tidings of Christ that all could hear. And we need to go to the high mountain today and speak in a language that the people can understand. For example, the majority of the people in the world do not understand English. The largest language group is Mandarin Chinese, spoken by over 1 billion people as their mother tongue. They need to hear that strong and clear message of the gospel from the high mountain also. We need to make use of the means that will proclaim the gospel from the high mountain. For example, shortwave radio. There are more shortwave radios in the world than televisions. A shortwave signal can cover whole nations, vast areas. It can go into unreached villages and homes and businesses and restaurants and anywhere else. Secondly, our text says that we should lift up our voice in strength. Again, it says in Isaiah 40 and verse 9, "O Zion that brings good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Shout out the message with boldness." Edward J. Young writes in his commentary on this passage, "The messenger is to be bold. He is to raise his voice that all may hear. The church is not to keep this message to herself, but is to present it to Judah's cities with a holy boldness. She must be vigorously and militantly evangelistic. Not a low whisper or soft voice, but a shout to lift up our voice with strength. The church needs to be bold in its proclamation of the gospel, not to hold back, but to press forward. The apostles ran into obstacles as they pressed forward with the gospel, but they did not stop. We read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 18 where it says, "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." And then in verse 23 it says, "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, the Bible says. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. And this is what God calls us to do today, to speak the gospel boldly. In the book, The Puritan Hope by Ian Murray, we read how Whitfield and Wesley boldly went into the open fields to proclaim the gospel so that all could hear. It says, by 1739, it was beyond question that a great revival had commenced in England. New Year's Day witnessed the small group of leaders in London, including Whitfield and Wesley, met in a prayer meeting reminiscent of the private gatherings of ministers in the previous century. In the next 5 weeks, Whitfield preached some 30 times in and about London. Then moving to the Bristol area, he took the momentous step on February the 17th of preaching to some 200 colliers in the open air at Kingswood, the use of a church having been denied to him. From this point onwards, open-air preaching became an inescapable necessity as congregations gathered in the thousands. In the bleak months of February and March, Whitfield estimated that there were as many as 10,000 hearers on an occasion at Kingswood. And in London, on Moor's Fields and Kennington Common during the following months, still vaster crowds assembled for the preaching of a message which had so recently been generally dismissed with scorn. Daniel Rowland was a pastor in Wales during this 18th century revival. The Puritan Hope relates about his part in that great spiritual awakening. It says, until his conversion, Rowland was a typical clergyman of the age, serving an easygoing God. Thereafter, the change in his ministry was immense. He proclaimed, says his biographer, eternal perdition to a sinful world. Notwithstanding the message of judgment, his churches were soon crowded, and such were the overpowering effects of the word preached that numbers, stricken with conviction of sin, lay prostrate on the ground in the churchyard of Lanwill. It was at this time, or soon after, that a movement of the Spirit, long to be remembered, occurred in Llangytho Church. One Sunday morning, as Rowland read the words of the litany, by thine agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost, many fell to the floor, suddenly seized by an awareness of their state as sinners, while others gave with tears the appointed response, good Lord, deliver us. And a great revival had broken out in the church. Thirdly, let us see that we're not to be afraid. Verse 9 of our text says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Zion is not to be afraid. Lift up your voice. Don't fear. God is with us. The church must not be afraid. Now is the time, even in times of tribulation. We must lift up our voice to proclaim the gospel. We must not be afraid. We have the promise of Jesus. In Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus promises to be with his church to the very end of the age, to the very last day. Fourthly, we are to lift up the gospel message. Behold your God. Again, our text says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Let the peoples hear. Show them their God. Edward J. Young, commenting on this passage, says the cities of Judah are stopped, as it were, that they might see their God before them. This is the great theme of the remainder of the prophecy. It is the very center of the gospel. If we have not God, we have nothing. And if we have Him, we have all things. And this is a message to the church today to lift up the gospel. The word Zion here means the church. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 22 through 24, it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven." Matthew Henry, in commenting on this passage, says, "But this was to have its full accomplishment in the apostles' public and undaunted preaching of the gospel to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The voice crying in the wilderness gave notice that he was coming. But now notice is given that he has come. Behold the Lamb of God. Take a full view of your Redeemer. Behold your King. Behold your God." The church is told to proclaim Christ to the cities of the world, to the peoples of the world. Behold your God. We're to lift up Christ. In John 1:29, it says this, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.'" And then in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." We must lift up Jesus. I went to seminary at Reformed Theological Seminary, which had a high pulpit. And on the few occasions that I got to preach there, I had to walk up several stairs to reach the top of that pulpit. And when I got there, I would look down on the pulpit, and I saw the first thing, a gold plate. And on that gold plate, which was on top of the pulpit, it said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And you knew when you got to the top of that pulpit that your job was to proclaim Jesus Christ. Today we are called to proclaim Christ to the peoples of the world. The Bulong people of Yunnan province in China are 80,000 in number. They are a friendly people. The older women chew betel nut, which stains their teeth black, considered a mark of beauty. They're mostly Buddhist, and few have ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have never heard his name, and they need to hear. There will be a final proclamation of the gospel to the world before Jesus comes, I believe. In Revelation 14, in verses 6 and 7, it says, "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. And he said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water.'" Behold your God. There will be a final harvest, I believe. And Revelation 14, verses 14 through 16, talks about that harvest. It says, "I looked, and there before me was a white cloud. And seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. And then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, 'Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' And so he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested." There will be a final outpouring of God's Spirit, I believe. The time is near. Let us get on with the final great harvest and lift up the gospel of Jesus Christ for all to hear. The church is called to proclaim the gospel in these last days. We're called to lift up Jesus for all to see and invite them to him. Isaiah 11:10 says, "In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." Do you have a vision of the final harvest that is coming? Are you ready to take part in that great harvest by your prayers, by your giving, and by your availability? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, please convict our hearts today. Please convict our hearts to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ from the high mountain to all the peoples, that they may hear. O Lord, grant unto us great conviction. O Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit. O Lord Jesus, we pray that you would grant us your grace and your mercy during this final hour, that you will enable us to proclaim the gospel to as many as we can, that they may hear the wonderful news, that they may behold the true and living God and come to know Jesus Christ. O Father, convict our hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope this week's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions about Mr. Dodson's message, please write us. You may email us at info@watchmanradio.org. Our mailing address is Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. That's Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. You may listen to this broadcast at any time on the internet at www.oneplace.com. In the list of ministries, just select the Watchman Radio Hour. This week's program and previous programs are always available there for listening. Thanks for listening to the Watchman Radio Hour. We invite you to come again next week to hear another timely message from God's Word. We are Watchman Radio Ministries International, reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.